This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, right here in the studio of Tent Talk Network. We're in the studio, and I have a guest in the studio. It is such a thrill for me. Wow. And Carol J. Perry is with me. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, Patsy.
This is exciting. Back in the studio. Isn't it wonderful?
It is wonderful, but did you notice anything strange about today's weather and I'm here?
I know, and I was wondering. This is a pandemic-y thing. It was some kind of strange phenomenon. Every other time that you've been here, we've had thunderstorms and rain and spooky weather. But today, it is just, isn't it a gorgeous day?
It's glorious, clear water.
It is glorious. It is absolutely amazing. And I talk to, you know, friends up north. Well, you know, my brother had snow on May 10th. May 10th.
Poor baby.
Well, you know, lucky he loves it. But it is so great to have you back in the studio. It's just wonderful. And, you know, it's just great to be a little bit normal.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. We don't know for how long, but it's really great. At the bottom of the hour, I have a guest, Thomas Ryan Sr., and he's written a book called Terrorist Quest for Power. And so for those of you who are tuning in, we're going to talk to Carol first about her wonderful, the book that just came out. Well, no, it comes out next week,
next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. So you can still pre-order it. And it's called See Something, and I'm holding it up to the camera. And on the cover, it's a beautiful cover, always by Kensington, makes beautiful covers, and with her cat, Orion. And then we're going to also talk about her new series. I mean, isn't it exciting? This is book 11.
That's book 11.
In The Witch City Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And when you first came on here, book one.
It was book one. Yep.
And in 6 years, you got to 11.
Yeah, and I'm almost at the end of 12, Home in the Machine, and that's due at the publishers on July 1st, and I believe I am going to make the deadline, because be several pots of coffee and panic right toward the end. And I love working with Kensington, though. They've been so good to me and to Orion. Orion says the bigger the cat on the cover, the better the book. And you notice that the cat's getting bigger.
Yeah, getting bigger and bigger. That's it. Well, we are very lucky to have another book out. And then you're going to be back here in August, because you have another new series.
I do. I'm so excited about the new series. This was Kensington's idea, that they would like me to do a paranormal series. And my books are witchy and spooky, but not minorly paranormal. And I thought, well, gee, I don't do vampires or ghoulies and ghosties and stuff. But ghosties I do. So I suggested a ghost, and they wanted a different venue, of course, so it's in Florida. So Be My Ghost is the beginning, what one hopes will be a happy, long series. And there's no cat, but you'll notice on the cover of Be My Ghost, there is a lovely golden retriever, and his name is Finn. And my protagonist's name is Maureen Doherty. So it has a little Irish little to it.
A little bit Irish there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, of course, See Something, one of the Witch City mystery books, is set in Salem, because as everyone listen to this show knows, you are a Halloween Eve baby.
Yes.
And so it just came natural for you to write a book set in Salem.
Yeah. I know Salem well, and I go back just about every year just to make sure it hasn't changed too much. I do use Google Earth, because Salem has always had a penchant for moving one-way streets around, so I can't have my protagonist going the wrong direction on a one-way street. And I do stay in touch with the mayor, who is a fan up there.
And I've been I I want her to declare a Carol J. Perry day. I mean, what is wrong with this woman? I've got to send her a message after this. I'm going to send her this interview and say,
there are many Salem books, and most of them are by very prestigious historians and that sort of thing. And I buy them because I have to keep up on the witchy stuff. But,
But you've developed a fan base, and I think the one, a really great fan base.
Surprisingly good.
I mean, really good. And this is the amazing, that's why you've been featured with Kensington on their end caps at Barnes & Noble, which is always a prestige location.
Yep. Do you know I've been number one on Barnes & Noble's list occasionally, and I didn't even know it until my editor pointed it out. You know, it's usually when a book comes out, but hey, wow.
Wow, yeah, I believe it, because the books are fun and enjoyable, and when you get fans who just follow it, they're waiting for the book.
They do.
Isn't that exciting?
And they write me lovely letters, and some of them have even deliberately gone to Salem on purpose
just to
be where Lee has been. And some who used to live there and are happy to have the reminders of the way Lee is seeing it. One day, and I wrote this down at the time, I should have brought it to you. Mary Higgins Clark was on your show, and I wrote the date because this quote was so good. She said, "When you are in love with your characters, it makes the writing so much easier."
And when your characters love you back, because they won't leave you.
Yeah, they do. They, you know, sometimes, now I know them all so well that sometimes I feel as though I'm chasing them around trying to hear everything they say so I can write it down fast and take dictation.
Well, that's right. You don't want, you know, if the character knows you and loves you, they come and sit down at the table with
they
you and
do.
Say, why don't you feature me? Why? And I'm sure Orion sometimes comes and says, you know, excuse me.
Oh, yes.
I want a little. You can't go too many pages without a mention of Orion.
You know, I have to remind myself, and every once in a while I'll do a book and I'll say, well, this is Ina B's book, like Final Exam, the class reunion. That was Ina B's book. But then I get letters from, well, River didn't have enough parts.
Yeah,
what are you doing with Pete?
Isn't it cute? I love it. Yeah. I love it. So in this book, See Something, tell us about the storyline for this one.
Okay. I use real streets and real places as much as I can in Salem. WYCH-TV is not a real TV station, but WYCH, come on, it should have been.
It should have been.
Yeah. So Lee lives on Winter Street, which is just kind of across the common to Derby Street where this station is. And sometimes on a nice day, she walks to work. And she walks across the common one day, and Stacia, the pigeon lady, who showed up in maybe book three or book four and is still around, is sitting on a bench feeding the pigeons, as she does every day. But today she has someone with her. And usually people don't stick around too much because pigeons, or they're friendly, are sort of messy, so you don't sit under them for long. But anyway, Lee goes to work and gives it not much thought. But on the way home, this woman who had been sitting with Stacia is still there. Stacia's gone home. The pigeons have gone to roost, and this lady is still there. So Lee thinks, well, it's really none of my business. She wants to sit there. And then she thought, well, something might be wrong. So she speaks to the woman, and finds that the woman doesn't even know her own name. So Lee, being the sympathetic soul that she is, decides, well, I can't just leave her here. It's dangerous. You can't just leave her in the Salem Common at night. And she decides to take her home to Aunt Ibby, to the house she shares with Aunt Ibby and Orion the cat. And that's the beginning of her troubles for this book.
It is. Well, of course, I always say Aunt Ibby because, you know, I'm from Michigan. We call it, but it's Aunt because Salem.
Yeah.
It has to be Aunt Ibby.
Aunt Ibby
is of course, a favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about her, because this is nice. You know, so often, like, the older person is sort of the throwaway character, mm-hmm. because they're not, they're not all with it. But in this case, Aunt Ibby is
more than with it. Aunt Ibby admits to 60-something. Even I don't know exactly how old Aunt Ibby is, but she admits to 60-something. She's maintaining red hair. She's still a size 10. She is a research librarian, which is very handy for a mystery writer to have.
Isn't it?
And Amy is a, and she now works part-time at the Salem Library, training help and arranging displays and that sort of thing, but not full-time. But she is very, very techie.
Computer savvy,
so
which is what you need.
Computer savvy. I wish I was. I need an IDB. I have to depend on grandchildren a lot. And even then, my readers who are younger and more savvy than I am will point out some of my technical errors. But anyway, IDB is just such a handy character to have. She can look things up. She can explain things beautifully. And she's also quite attractive and has a number of gentlemen friends.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including Mr. Pennington, who became a favorite. I was going to kill Mr. Pennington in the second book, and then Inibi liked him, so what could
do? Well, yeah, and the fans, too. Yeah you can't. Yeah.
So Mr. Pennington is still around.
Still around.
Yeah, and Inibi, one of my favorite mystery writers is Sophie Ryan, who is also Sophie Kelly, and she writes wonderful books, all with cats in them, so Ryan loves her, too. And we have had a correspondence for some time. And Sophie wrote, I need an Aunt Ibby. I love Aunt Ibby. So I was very, very happy that Sophie Ryan likes Aunt Ibby and Orion.
Well, now that you've got 11 books mm-hmm. under your belt and the 12th one coming, how do you keep track of everyone? Do you have like a Bible?
Well, Kensington very happily provides me with every book. A very careful list of names of people, what color their eyes are, where they live, and that sort of thing. And if I was more efficient, I would have kept those all in one file, which I did not. So occasionally, I will either have to pick up an old book and flip through it. Like you, though, I can see the page that it's on. What color eyes does Pete have? And then I found out nobody knew. I didn't give him eye color until about book five. But yes, Kensington does provide this wonderful three or four pages.
A style sheet kind of thing.
That's exactly what they call it. I was searching for
the
word.
Yeah, the style sheet.
Yeah, and that's very handy. And that's so good to me.
Yeah. And anybody who's not with a publisher who does that kind of thing, they have to do that. For themselves.
Yeah, and keep track of it.
Keep track,
when
yeah.
you get on book 12, and I had to, this morning, go find me a copy of book 2 on my bookshelf, because there was something I knew it happened there, but I needed to know, you know, the secret drawers in the bureau that Lee has?
Oh,
I couldn't
yeah.
remember how many drawers, and I gave her that bureau in book 2, and I had to go
you
back.
You had to go back.
There were 6.
Yeah, well, of course, now you should remember that, because you were very deeply involved with furniture from a lot of your writing life.
Yes, I wrote about antiques and collectibles very happily for a long time.
And you use that in the book. See, this is one of the wonderful things about becoming a writer. You can use all of your past experiences.
Oh, yeah. And nothing bad ever happens to writers. Everything is material.
That's right. Whatever it is, someday I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I mean, oh my, yes. You can kill ex-husbands.
Yeah, all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, well, that's what, Lee Child did when he wrote his first book. You know, that's what he did. He killed the entire boardroom of of the radio program, Granada Television, that fired him.
So in
that book, he's killing every single one of them. And if he writes it's like... Peter was a big fat slob. Is Peter going? And he used the real names. Is Peter going to sue somebody? And because, well, he said I'm a big. But if he looks like a big fat slob, he can't sue anybody. So you know. So that you know, writers can have fun.
Oh yeah, it is fun. I never thought of myself as a fiction writer. Most of my life, I've been a nonfiction writer. Most of my writing life, and I started selling words for money when I was 19 as an assistant ad manager at the Pickering Fuel Company in Salem. And in one of my books, the knowledge of those fuel docks where the coal used to come in was a plot point. Because I could still see it. So it just all kind of mushes together in a lovely way.
It's fantastic. Yeah. You know, Eugenia Lovett West was here in February, and she celebrated her 97th birthday. Yeah. 97 years old.
Yeah.
And going and writing, and 97, writing a book about cybercrime.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking, there was research.
Oh, yeah.
Because I checked, you know, my, of course, I've, everybody in my family sort of involved in some kind of computer stuff. And that, her book on cybercrime, right spot on. Everything
amazing.
She's met. And she's 97 years old. Yeah. She didn't know anything about it when she started the book. You know, it took a year, a good solid year of research. Yeah. And that's the kind, isn't it fun?
It is so much fun.
The research part is fun too.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and then of course now, and of course with Salem, it's real easy. You have as great locations there.
Yeah.
Now with the new series, you've had to come out with a new complete town called?
Haven.
Haven, Florida. Sounds like it could be a place, actually. It's funny there's no place called Haven, Florida.
Well, there is Winter Haven and some other kind of Haven.
Yeah, but just plain?
Nope, there's no Haven. And it's kind of a combination of real places. Some people will look at this book and say, Gulfport right away, but somebody else will say Safety Harbor, and somebody might say Sanford, because there's pieces of all
pieces
of them
of
in there. And the ghost, if you look at the acknowledgement of that, I acknowledge the friendly ghost that haunted a house I once lived in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and made me a believer.
Ah.
And the second acknowledgement, there's only two in this one. Usually I have a string of people, but this one I only hit two. The other one is Kathy Salucci. You have to invite Kathy someday. Kathy has written a wonderful book on the small towns. And she's also the editor of the Gabber newspaper.
Ah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's fun. And
okay.
She'd be a good interview. But anyway, I'm thanking Kathy for keeping Florida real and telling us about these places. And I, of course, I have her book, and I research some of the places I haven't been to put those parts into.
So you do believe in ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you live with one, and you'll be a believer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is going to be a great storyline for you.
Yeah. And I love my ghosts. I have created such fun ghost characters, and I love them. And I have a whole town to work with, you see, because everything's haunted in my Haven. And the next book is going to take, a lot of the haunting will take place in an old movie theater. And I haven't got that all. I'm a pantser, you know. I right by the seat of my pants. I don't plot anything ahead. That's why I'm chasing characters or I'm taking dictation. I don't know what they're going to do. But and the dog is now to tell you a little bit without being a spoiler. Maureen was a sportswear buyer in a department store in Boston, but it was a big family-owned department store, and like the rest of them, it's gone. So she is now without a job. And her dog, Finn, that she got really low priced because he was a failed guide dog. He's too friendly and too easily distracted to do his job. So they're both out of work losers. And she inherits this piece of property in Florida from an unknown benefactor. And since she and Finn have no place out, they can't afford the rent anymore in Massachusetts. And have no jobs, but they have a little unemployment and a little severance pay, and they decide they'll take them up on this and go to Haven,
and
they do.
Adventures away
immediately.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah, and it's so fun. I love my ghosts.
Yeah. Well, you know. So you have had a very productive pandemic year.
You know, it's not a lot different from a writer because the work is so solitary anyway. And I didn't have to go to an office or anything, so I'm still home with husband, best friend Dan, who is a really good critic of my work. And he liked the first draft, but then when he read the book, he said, this is even better. He very much likes Be My Ghost. And he's good at finding things, and so I'm really happy he loves it too. So our lives haven't changed a great deal. Of course, the critique group stopped meeting. all of the writers' conferences were canceled.
Yeah, I know.
And I do miss that sort of human touch. Like, but today when I leave here, I'll go home and I'll be Zooming with one of your, Shayla McBride, who was on with you recently. We stay in touch, but at a distance.
At a distance. Yeah. Well, we hope that's going to change because hopefully this year we'll have a VoucherCon because we missed it last year. And I love VoucherCon. You know, ever since we had it here at the Vinoy Hotel, we were so lucky to have it here. And it was so wonderful. And then, of course, I went to the Dallas one and met everybody there. My biggest win out of VoucherCon, I always think, Dallas, was that I went to a panel and this guy comes up to me and he sort of sits next to me and he says, "Would you like to read my book?" And I didn't recognize him, you know. And I said, "Well, sure," you know, because he saw that, you know, I was media, that I might have it. And so he puts this book in my hand and it's Jerome Preisler, who of course is writing all of the things from Tom Clancy's thing. And then he gives me this book. It's like 632 pages or something. Just as a panel starts, and I'm supposed to be listening to the panel, and I start reading the book.
Oh.
And it was so thrilling that I forget. So, you know, those events are wonderful because you do meet people that really become friends. Yeah.
Yeah, I miss that. I was scheduled to go to Malice Domestic.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, that got canceled last year. And I don't know what's going to happen to it this year. And also Sluice Fest. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we don't know, but you're going to do some Zoom events. And
I love Zoom.
And people will be able to find that because you're going to have it on. You have a web page.
I do. I have a new web page, and it's just beautiful. And everybody likes it. And I had neglected my web page. I let someone else handle it. And I really looked at it myself, and then I saw someone else, Rita. I saw Rita Moreau's page.
Yes.
And I thought,
Rita Moreau, yes, with her Wheeler Dealer.
What a good concept!
Yeah,
that
what a
is.
Concept! New series that she just started.
A haunted RV, and the haunt. It's so funny! You got to read it.
It's so funny.
And there's no end to the adventures you can have because you can go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, this is what's wonderful. So. It's Carol J. Perry is her website, and she's also on Facebook and I don't Twitter probably. And
Hasn't showed me how to do that yet.
I know. Yeah. Facebook.
Yeah, but Facebook.
But you can go to her webpage, Carol J. Perry, and have a list there of her Zoom events and whatever, maybe some live events too that are going to come up.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Well, you know, Carol, for me, it's just been an honor, you know, 6 years.
It's a baby steps for both of us. It
really
at the same
us.
Time.
You know, I remember the day we met. I remember I remember exactly where we were sitting and how you slid this cover over to me and said, you know, would you like to read my book? and so Carol J. Perry was the very first guest here in the studio for me, and it was so wonderful, and it's been such a thrill to watch you grow and just get better and better. And that Kensington, you know, when a publisher comes to you and says, "Would you write the series?" I mean, you know, you're making it. You know, first that you got to 12 books, that means contract after contract they kept signing you. But then when they come to you with a new idea, and they you're doing so beautifully, Carol. Just I'm so proud of you. So
I'm having so
and of
much
course,
fun.
The how I knew she was going to be a success. My sister Natalie. when I got the first book, Natalie read the book before I did.
Yeah.
She grabs any cozy mystery, and she is the we call her the connoisseur of cozy mysteries. Mm-hmm. And she read that book, and she said, "Oh my goodness, this is," and she said to me, she's a local author, like, you know, she didn't realize, she said, you know, like, she should be famous, you know. So she just started, this is, she's going to be my guest on my program. What do you think, she's good? And Natalie's going, she's so good, she's good. I want, she was ready for book two right there.
Yeah, I know. When I first met Natalie, that, I mean, she just jumped up to meet me and hugged me.
Oh, she was so thrilled to be, an author that she just loves because she, I, She's read thousands and thousands of cozy mysteries, starting with Carolyn Hart, by the way, who's coming out with a new book in July. Did you know that?
Good, good. No, I didn't. Or if I did, I'd forgotten it, but
We'll be talking about that, too. Yeah. So, anyway, thank you so much for joining me today here in the studio today. Big Ed, we have a little bit of a something to play for Carol on her way out, okay? Something from the Book Buzz, okay?
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest Book Buzz. See Something, a Witch City Mystery Book 11 by fabulous Kensington author Carol J. Perry. Here's the buzz. Salem's WICH-TV program director Lee Barrett is about to discover no good deed goes unpunished. Lee has been promoted from field reporter to program director, keeping track of all the shows and managing the local TV personalities, including a cowboy, a clown, and a performing dog, has her head spinning. Perhaps that's what makes her take pity on the distraught woman she finds sitting alone on a bench on the Salem Common. When she realizes that the poor woman doesn't even know her own name, Lee takes her into the warmth of her home she shares with her Aunt Ibby and their clairvoyant gentleman cat, Orion. Maybe Lee can use her own psychic gifts to divine the woman's identity. Lee's detective beau, Pete Mondello, wants to talk to the Jane Doe. But before he can investigate, he's called to a crime scene. A body has been found washed up in a narrow harbor cove. As harmless as her new house guest seems, Lee can't help but wonder if she may be harboring a killer. An entertaining story that keeps readers guessing until the very twisted and eerie end. Carol J. Perry was born in Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween Eve, and that magical city serves as the backdrop for her Witch City Mysteries. See Something, a Witch City Mystery Book 11 by fabulous Kensington author Carol J. Perry. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest. Thomas Ryan Sr. has written a book called Terrorist Quest for Power, and I'm so happy to welcome him to the program. Hi, Mr. Ryan.
Hello, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, great. Is it okay if I call you Thomas?
Oh, you may, or call me Tom.
Tom, okay. Well, my brother's name is Tom, so that's easy for me to remember, Tom. Whoa. It's so good to have you join me today. You know, I want to tell all of my listeners, I have lived all over the world, traveled to many, many strange countries. And always, I'm going to tell you, and this is the truth, the most beautiful thing I ever saw when I was in these countries was a United States Marine. Because whenever you are in trouble, whenever there is a problem, you run your... And I was once caught up in a riot, in a major riot, a deadly riot, and I ran like crazy through back streets until I got to the American Embassy, and there standing was a United States Marine. And they are so beautiful. All the Marines are so gorgeous. I love Marines. And that is a sight... It just fills you. Suddenly, you feel safe, and you feel good, and you feel American. And so I'm so happy to welcome a Marine to Joy on Paper.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
I'm very happy, really, to be here. What I could read about you and the people that you have interviewed, Patsy, I feel real privileged just to be here talking to you.
Well, for me... You know, best-selling authors and global best-selling authors and everybody else, I love them all. But for me, a Marine comes first. I'm telling you the truth. I owe my life to a couple of times when I was in a really tough situation to Marines. So I love you guys, and I'm happy to be able to give you this opportunity to promote this book that you've written, and it's called Terrorist Quest for Power. And what do you want to tell everybody about it?
Well, you know, I love telling stories throughout my life, and I enjoy, I can sit down with a group of people and just sit down and enjoy telling one story or another. And when I retired from the Marine Corps, I had really thought about writing, but I got busy now learning about the civilian life. And finally and ultimately, when I retired from it, I decided now's the time, Tom, to lean back and just see what you can do in putting something down in paper and allowing people to enjoy a story. Well, what I did was I started to look at articles written by people like yourself who knew an awful lot about writing, a lot more than I did, and what was popular. What would people like to hear about? I love telling stories, but what subject matter did they want to hear? And terrorism came up as one, as a popular subject. And I said, oh, my God, I happen to know an awful lot about that. I can write a story, but I said, I better be careful, better lean back. Let's think about this before I start. And I said, I think I ought to write in fiction. Let my creativity, let the reader enjoy my experience through my creativity rather than just write about fact. This way, I'm not confusing people. I'm not getting into a dangerous ground of damaging some element of background that could damage someone during the current period. So I went about my creative spirits at looking at the world situation. And there is a subject matter that is now very current. But at the time that I started writing my book, people hadn't heard much about it. And the word is called native terrorism. Native terrorism is when the foreign terrorist organization decided in their poverty right after the Second World War, they had decided that let's get out and be able to promote and show the world we're a worthy power to be considered. And the only way that they've realized they could do this is send their relatives and friends out to bear children in other countries and to create an element of structure throughout the world. Well, they accomplished that. So much have they accomplished it, we just saw it in the invasion on our own capital back in just a few months ago. That is an element of what native terrorism is doing today.
Well, you know,
seeing it happen all over the world.
And the, you know, as a somebody, when you start writing and you're looking for a subject to write about, and you do know something about a subject, it's fascinating how you first you get into it, and you came out with a character, of course, obviously based on yourself. Because tell us about your main character, about Tom Murphy.
Tom Murphy is stationed in one of the same local stations that I was at in Washington, D.C. It happens to be where it is the oldest post in the Marine Corps, and it houses the United States President's Guard. That guard is at the call of the President at any moment in time. He actually physically guards the President in different areas of his doing his duties. And it provides all of the ceremonial activities in Washington, D.C. I was fortunate enough to have one of the commands there at the barracks, and so I knew it well.
Well, you describe it beautifully. I want to say that, you know, I so enjoyed the part where you're describing the barracks and the details that you put in there. I could really, after I read that, I could really visualize it, and I enjoyed that so very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I tried my best to do that. Sometimes I feel I'm so anxious to get into the action that I overlook a little detail, but I'm glad to hear you enjoyed my descriptions that I gave. I tried to be as specific as I did. I'm not anywhere near what Tom Clancy would do in writing of the environment, but I wanted one to feel like they knew what was going on and knew just comfortable enough to know, gee, I can see what's happening here.
Well, I enjoyed your description of the barracks. I really center house, and about the club, about everything that you described. It was so clear to me from the description. I could really visualize the location, and I thought it was just great.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
In fact, you know, one of the things I really enjoyed, I loved your description of food, and I love your description of one of my favorite scenes in this. This is funny because it's been a long time since I travel first class, and that I even get on an airplane. But I love the description of being on a first class airplane. It's, you know, all of this. I think you've managed to really. You know, you've taught yourself to write, and you know, you're doing a great job.
Oh, God bless you. I hope so. I enjoy it, doing it. I wish I could have done it a few years younger, but still, I'm going to continue as long as God willing will allow me.
Well, I want to tell you that in February I had a guest on, Eugenia Lovett West. She celebrated her 97th birthday. And she had just written a book about cybercrime. So you can keep writing and you can keep growing. She started writing also in her 60s, in late 60s. I think she was 68, almost 70 when she started. And now she's had 28 years. She's become an absolutely fantastic author. And this is why I call the program Joy on Paper. You find a certain joy when you get your words down on paper and you realize, yes, you can do it. You can tell that story that's been in your head for a long time and the characters that have been in your head.
Yes, and it's fun to not only to get them out there and get them, it's like waking them up in the different bedrooms and saying, now it's time to get up, we've got a story to tell. It's a lot of fun to get people going and get the excitement rolling, and let the reader just say, oh, gosh, here I am. In fact, one of my readers called me and said, Tom, I didn't understand. How did you get me involved in the action? How do I in this, in your story, feel like I'm right there? And I said, well, it's very simple. Most authors write in the third person. I write in the first person. And also, they write in the past tense, and I write in the present tense. It's rare that you have an author writing in the present tense and in the first person. But I wanted my reader, why not enjoy the action with me? Because it's in my mind, so I'm going to lay it out so that you can feel you're a part of it.
Well, I think you've done a great job. And I, as I said, I felt like I was on that first class flight. And speaking of bedrooms, you know, one of the fun things about being an author is you can bring the characters you want. So you bring some beautiful ladies into your story.
Story behind that. I always read every chapter as I completed it to my lovely lady, my wife of some 58 years and a 58 and a half years. I unfortunately lost her to heaven just a year ago. But I read every chapter to her. And if she didn't like it, quite frankly, I would rip it up right in front of her. And I would rewrite the chapter.
Well, she was a good influence on you because I think she probably enjoyed the way that you had a lot of beautiful ladies in there, and probably a lot of that came from knowing your wonderful wife.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And she named the main character, Jamie, in the book. And I, right up in the last 2 months of her life, I asked her, I said, honey, I said, won't you share with me where you got the name Jamie? And she just smiled and winked at me. I said, that's where it's going to be, right now with her.
Well, it's wonderful. And I can, as I was reading the book, I realized, you know, that you were having fun writing it, that you were coming out with the different storylines. And there's a lot of action in the book, but there's also a lot of just insights into human nature. And of course, the world situation of terrorism, which I don't know. It's a subject that is so difficult. But you present it in a really very readable manner, and I think that you know, from that point of view, we have to face it, and we have to try to understand where, you know, what we can do about terrorism. So I enjoyed that process of, you know, that you've written here.
Well, and Patsy, please understand, you and I, as we're talking, about something that the whole world is in a very infancy on. We really have very, very little ground or foundation to work from yet. It's very difficult to deal with. It's an element that's been created in our society that isn't of the age of mankind, where mankind always dressed opposite uniforms, came out, saluted each other, and then draw their sword and charged and said, okay, war has begun. That's not how terrorism works. And there is no uniform. There is nothing to identify. It's a whole different world that you need to create to understand and how to deal with. And dealing with the sword isn't necessarily the answer, as they found invading the Capitol was. It wasn't the answer. And they're very wise. As an example, one says, well, Tom, they've heard me before talk about that the terrorism was involved in that invasion on the Capitol, and they said, well, where were they at? And I said, that's where they are good at.
Yeah.
They're good, infiltrate, and to leave before anybody can identify them.
Well, you know, this is a subject that people have to be aware of, and that definitely books like yours will, I think, help open people's eyes. You know, as a Marine, you've seen so much, and you know about the dangers out there, and that you know, I am so always so honored, as I said, having lived abroad, having lived for many years overseas, there was nothing ever that was so beautiful as a Marine. And I just so grateful for your service and for everything that all Marines have done for us. And I'm so proud whenever I get to have any military person on my program, because you guys deserve our respect and just gratitude for what you've given us.
Oh, God bless, Patsy. That's good. And I'll thank you not for just me. I thank you for all that you're honoring when you make these comments. There are some really great, great, great people that have served our country. I will recognize along with you all of the greats and what they have done, those that have given their life for the service and for their country, and their families that have had to sacrifice it along with it.
Well, I hope now that perhaps things are starting to open up, that you'll be able to attend events. And one of the ways to sell books is, of course, you have to do some marketing and to attend events and meet people and get out there and promote your book. And I'm sure that, the Marine Corps, there's all... They like to have books to read when they're overseas, and so people can really if you know a Marine, if you know somebody serving overseas in one of the other branches, this is a wonderful book to give as a gift for Father's Day. Father's Day is coming up. People can order it and send it as a gift for Father's Day. And I think that, fathers will really appreciate it. And the book is called Terrorist Quest for Power. And it's by Thomas Ryan Sr. And Thomas, I want to thank you. Tom, I want to thank you for being on the program today. Are you on Facebook or
web? Yeah, I sure am.
What's your Facebook?
I just know it as Facebook. You mean if I got a website or something?
Yeah, you don't have
really. There is what we call the Ryan Doherty segment that I belong to on Facebook. That's the only one that I can identify.
Okay, well, they can go to the best way, and this is, as I said, particularly for Father's Day, go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, order the book, and send it to any guy in your life. They will love it, and women will love it, too, because there's a lot of strong women in this storyline, too.
Yes. And Jamie is quite the character. And if I get enough readers, I'll write a sequel to
what. That's just what I was going to say. I have a feeling there's a sequel in you for this one.
Oh yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm ready to write them. I'd like to take Tom and Jamie along, and let other people enjoy them in many different environments.
Well, exactly. Because once you start writing, you can't stop. You just find that joy on paper. And the joy also then, as I said, as you can get out there and meet your fans and people who just love your work. And that will happen to you as you get out there, the book signings and different events, because I think you've done a wonderful job. And I've always been, during this past year, I've been telling people, start writing, because it keeps your mind busy. It gives you something to think about. And your, as you said, the characters become people you know. They become your friends in many ways. And it just keeps all those brain cells going, right?
Yes, ma'am. It sure does.
Yeah, you don't...
And it's fun to almost help create the character and what you want to do with them. And where you want to take them, and feel the ride all the way. Sometimes I wake up early in the morning, like around 4 or 5 in the morning, and I write another chapter in my mind, and I rush to get down on the laptop and start writing it.
Well, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear. I love it. I just love to hear these stories. I love to hear about people who have found the joy on paper. And this can happen to everyone out there. All you have to do is start writing. And one of the things is, you know, everybody has a story in them. It might, in Tom's case, it's a wonderful story based on being a Marine, which is such a powerful thing. But everybody has a story. If not about themselves, they can write about their aunts, their uncles, you know, their grandfathers. But find something that intrigues you and start writing. And of course, as you were doing this, sometimes you had to do research, right, to get things.
Yeah.
And so all of that just is so wonderful for your mind. And I'm very, very proud that you've been on Joy on Paper today, because, you know, I want to play a song as we go out here in a few minutes. I'm going to play a song for you, because you're a very special person to me. As I said, twice in my life, Marine saved my life. So I know how very, very important you guys are. And around the world, as people start traveling again, you always know if you are in trouble, you run to that American embassy, and there will be Marines standing there, and they will be smiling, and it's amazing. And so I don't know how you guys stay so spiffy. You are so, every crease is perfect. You are amazing. I just love to look at a Marine.
Yeah, you're a great person to be interviewing me. I certainly have to say, it sounds like I took you aside and threatened.
No, you know, as I said, and one time when I ran to the embassy and I got to this Marine, and he's smiling at me with this big smile on his face, and I said, oh, I'm safe. And so I want to play this song for you as we go out from Joy on Paper. And I want to tell all my listeners, support the military, support Marines and Army. My father was Army. He always said he should have been a Marine, but he joined in the day after Pearl Harbor, and then he joined the Army before he could think about it. And he always wanted to be a Marine. So just I want to thank you so much, Tom, so much for being on the program. And it's Thomas Ryan Sr. The book is Terrorist Quest for Power. And we're going to play a special song for you. Okay, Tom? Here goes.